You want to turn to John 13:34 this morning. We talked about love a little bit last week, and we're going to continue to do that this week. So Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So Jesus is telling us, a new commandment I give to you. There's all these commandments in the Old Testament, but it's all summed up in this commandment. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And this is amazing. He says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So love is our central command. That's what God told us to do, is to love one another. That sums up everything. You know, if you love your neighbor, you know, you're not going to cheat. You're not going to cheat him out of money. You're not going to run off with his wife. You're not going to, you know, steal his car. It just sums up everything. We're going to talk about this morning because he told us to love one another, but he didn't just tell us to do something without giving us the means to do it. And as he said here, he said to love one another as I have loved you. He gave the example. Jesus gave the example, and he put his love into us. And because of what he did, if we understand what he did for us, that's how we can love. It's not that he told us to do something and it's somehow to earn something from him. Boy, this is your commandment that you're going to love one another, that's what you're supposed to do. Now get at it. He loved us so much, and if we understand what he did and what he's done for us and how much he loves us, that enables us to love. It's not the love first somehow that we're doing something to earn a position with God, or even that we got to do this so that he'll be pleased with us. He showed us the way, he gave it to us. He loves us. And if we understand that, it'll just flow out of us. And really, truly, that's the only way we can really love people. People can do acts of love, but to really love from the heart, out of motivation for the other person and not for yourself, you have to have God's love. See, there's people in religions all over the world doing things that look like love, but they're doing it because they believe they have to please God. They have a code, and if they don't do these things, they either, in extreme cases, they won't be accepted by God, they won't make heaven, or God won't bless them, or they won't have their prayers answered, or whatever. And so that's selfish. See, that's not really love. That's motivated by what I can get. I'm going to be nice to you, but it's because the teacher's watching, you know. I'm going to be nice to you because there's the principal's sitting here, and, you know, if I be nice to you, then I get a reward. I get a check mark on my chart or whatever. But that's not love. That's not love. That's not what God said. That's not why, you know, Jesus didn't die for us out of selfish ambition. So let's read a few more scriptures just a few chapters back, John 15:11. John 15:11 So Jesus says, let's just go back to verse 9. He says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you." As God the Father has loved Jesus, Jesus has loved us. "Abide in my love." He said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. See, as I have loved you. The way Jesus loved is the way we're supposed to love. And he's put that in us. It says in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." We are friends of God. "But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." That's the central command. Jesus is saying, I've loved you. The Father's loved me with that same love I've loved you, and so I'm telling you, now go love other people. So now let's turn back just another couple chapters back to John 17. John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20. This is Jesus praying for us. Isn't it good to know that Jesus, if you don't ever think it, you think you're all alone, you know God's with you, but you know way back here, Jesus was praying for you. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you loved me. That we are loved by Almighty God the same way He loves Jesus. How's that possible? It's because Jesus died in our place. It's because Jesus made a complete sacrifice for us, that we are not Jesus, but because of His sacrifice, God loves us the same way He loves Jesus. That's amazing. Father, in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. So that love of God Almighty, the love that He loves Jesus, the love that He loves us, is in us. The same love of God is in us. So God loved us. He loved Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for us because He loved us. And He put that same love. I mean, I don't think any of us can actually comprehend what Jesus did for us on the cross. When you actually get down, think of what He did physically when He was living here. He was God, but He was living as a man. The extreme, I mean, even Jesus sweat blood when it came time to go through with what He was going to do. For all these people, He hadn't done anything wrong, and He was going to give up His life. He said, if there's any other way, God, if there's any other way, Father, let it pass for me. Is there any way else we can get this done? Let it pass. He did not want to do it. It was horrid what He went through, but He did it for us because He loved us. And in that love, that sacrificial love is the same love that's inside of us. So we have it. We have it inside of it. When we get a hold of what He's done for us and the love that's constantly flowing towards us, that God looks at us just like He does Jesus, that He loves us like He does Jesus, that enables us to let that love that He's already put inside of us out. See, that's an enabling. It's not that we have to. He already said He loved us. He already said that love's in us. He didn't say, you do this or else. He said, I've loved you. I love you now. I love you just like Jesus now. It's a small thing to love the people around you. When you understand it like that, it's not a thing that you have to do. It's a thing you want to do. Let's read a couple more scriptures on the way. Where we're going, Ephesians 5:1. I'm going to read several scriptures. We'll go through these pretty quick. Ephesians 5:1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given Himself, has also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So He said, walk in love, how? As Christ also loved us. That's our example. How do we do it? It's as Christ also loved us. And let's turn back to Romans real quick before we go on. Romans 5. Romans 5:5. Let's go back to verse 1. So Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. We stand in this peace. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Jesus prayed that we would have the love of God in us. And it says right here, Paul says, that love of God has been poured out in our hearts. We have that love of God in us. By the Holy Spirit, the love of God Almighty, the same love that caused Jesus to die on the cross for us, for all humanity, when he, you know, his physical body was recoiling, he did it out of love. He laid down his life. That love is in us. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. Now these are familiar verses of Scripture, but we're going to go through them. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, these are the wedding scriptures that people, you've probably heard, you know, so many times at weddings or whatever. It's quoted a lot. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. This is talking about what love is. That love that God has for us, that Jesus has for us, that we have shed abroad inside, this is telling us what it is and how important it is and God's view of love. Verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, like we said last week, though I'm a great orator, though I can speak, though I walk and, you know, flow in these gifts, but I don't have love, I'm just like somebody beating on a cymbal. I'm just making noise, but I am not holding to the central thing that God places emphasis on, which is love. Love, that's what caused Jesus to come for us. That's what we're supposed to be showing to people. We just become a bunch of noise if we don't have this. He said in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I'm educated, I flow in the gifts of the Spirit, whatever, understand all this, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. No matter if I'm, you know, I have all these things going for me. I have such faith that I can move whatever comes my way, but I'm not walking in love, so I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, basically, so you sacrifice, like we talked about, so you're doing all these things, but you're not motivated by love, by doing it for the other person. You're doing it out of selfish ambition, or you're doing it because you think you have to. It says, though I do all these things, give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is the central thing. God said that that's what we have shed abroad in our heart. Love is motivated by the other person. So now we get to verse 4. We're going to read this in the New King James, and then we're going to read another translation. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, if you have your bulletin, I put the Living Bible translation on the back, just so you can see it. This makes it a lot more clear. Now, when we're going through this, this is God's love. Now, this is not just how we act towards other people, but this is how God views us. This is God's love. So when we read earlier, Jesus said, with the love that God loved him and loved us, this is how he looks at us. When you think of God, you think of how you think of these scriptures and say, that's how God sees me. This is how his attitude is towards me. In verse 4, then, let's read it together. It says, love is very patient and kind. When God's looking at us, He is very patient and He's kind. He's not looking, He's not like patient, you know, exasperated. He's not just losing, going, oh my goodness, would that person get his act together? No, He's patient and He's kind the whole time. It's like an old grandpa with a two-year-old saying, oh yeah, you're doing great. You know, patience. Patient, and He's kind while He's doing it. He's kind to us. That's His attitude towards us. This right here is describing this love of God. God, you could put God in there. God is very patient and kind because God is love. It says, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud. You think of Jesus walking around. This is the way, this is Jesus. This is God. This is good. This is the way we imagine a perfect individual to be, which was Jesus when He walked. If you were to meet somebody that just had it all together, this is how He would act. This is the way Jesus is. This is the way God is. Never jealous, never envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. God's not irritable. He's not touchy either. God's not scared off because we just, you know, do something wrong. He's not scared off if we don't do everything right in a service either. God's very patient. You imagine they just, you know, think this, you know, they used to all just have one room churches. Everybody was in there, kids, whatever. God's not scared away by a kid crying or something like, oh no, we need to be so quiet. God is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. Now listen to this. These are some of the best part of these scriptures. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. That describes Jesus. Jesus was loyal to us and is loyal to us. God is loyal to us no matter what the cost. He stands by us no matter what the cost. He's loyal to us. You will always believe in him. It says, okay, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him. God always believes in us, regardless of the mess we got ourselves in, regardless if we're walking perfect, we had an A-plus week. He believes the best of us when we're doing the worst and we don't believe in ourselves anymore. He believes the best. He says the best is yet to come. Your best days are ahead of you. The best thing, I have such plans for you, and He believes the best, even when we may be acting our worst. He said, when you walk in love, you will always believe in Him. Always expect the best of Him. Always expect the best out of you. You wake up, God is expecting you to have a great day. And always stand your ground in defending Him. Always stand your ground in defending it. God is not going to turn His back on us and leave us hanging. He's not going to get us in a situation and then turn His back on and say, you're going to fend for yourself now. No, He walks with us. He defends us. He will stand His ground in defending us. That is our Father. That is the way He looks at us. When Jesus said, the love which you loved me, you know, that you love, that love would be in them and that you love them as you loved me. You imagine God turning His back on Jesus. He did that in the garden for our sakes. But because of that sacrifice, God is not going to turn his back on us. He is there 24/7, all the time. He believes the best of us. He expects the best of us. He will stand His ground in defending us, and He's loyal to us. That is our Father. He is there all the time. He is not touchy. He's not fretful. He's not irritable. He is there, kind, patient, loving, all the time. That is the character of God. 1 John says that is who He is. He is love. He has made it very clear that is the central point. We just read in earlier in 1 Corinthians, He's not so concerned with all these things that people put importance on. He said, you can do all these things, but if you're not walking in love, you're nothing. This is what God is concerned with, and because He's concerned with that because if we know that's who our Father is and that's His central thing, see, that allows us then to let that love that's shed abroad in our heart, and now all these things that we just read, we can behave that way and have the attitude towards someone else. See, it's totally because of what God did and because of what he put in us and because we know that attitude that he has us that we can turn around and say, you're not doing so bad. It's all right. I can bear with you because you may not be perfect, but I know I'm not perfect. I know my God believes the best in me. I know God Almighty, the creator of the universe, he's loyal. I know he will always defend me. I know he's patient with me right now. So just because you messed up a little bit, I think I can be patient with you. See, have you ever been in a situation where, you know, it's a whole lot, there's two different things. You know, if you've been in a situation where, you know, people just don't like you or you feel like they don't like you, do you perform your best? If you're in a group of people, or you know you've worked in with some coworkers, or maybe you're, you know, back in high school or whatever, you're around people that you know don't really like you. You're walking, you know, you're nervous inside. You're not at ease. You're not going to perform your best. It's like you feel like everybody's waiting for you to make a mistake. You don't walk your optimum level. But have you also been around that you already know people? They already accept you. They already believe in you. They've already, if it's like sports, something, they've already seen your ability. So you're at ease. Now you're not worried about what people think. You've already proven yourself or whatever, and they've already accepted you. You know that frees you up just to play at a higher level or just to perform at a higher level, just to be free. You're relaxed. Well, it's that way with God. God has already accepted us. He's already believes us. We're in the presence of somebody that likes us. And he's the king of the universe. Really? I mean, you think of, it's not just a, he is God. There's nobody that can stand up to him and go, yeah, but I don't like him. Who cares? He is the master, the king of all kings, thinks we're okay. He's patient towards us. He's loyal to us. So if he thinks I'm okay, then who am I to just then take it and you know, look at all your faults and think you're just nothing because you messed up somewhere? See, it's going to free us when we are conscious of the fact that God, he loves us. He's loyal to us. He's believes in us. Then that love just flows through us, and we can do these things. Now let's just read it real quick, and then again, but this time how we're looking towards other people. The same attitude, this is how God looks at us, so now we're to behave this way towards other people. Let's read through it quick. Love is very patient and kind. We're not jealous. We're not envious. We're not jealous or envious because we know the king loves us. He's got good plans for us. Why do I need your plans? He's never boastful. We're never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. This is the love that's inside of us. Same word. Same everything. Love does not demand its own way. We're not irritable or touchy. Does not hold grudges. Hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. And if we love somebody, the people around us, we'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. We'll always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand our ground in defending him. See, that's a tall order if we're just supposed to do that in and of ourselves. If we have that list and we say, you go do that now. That's a tall order. But when we know God has done this for us, this is how he looks at us. This is how his active attitude is towards us. Then we say, okay, I can't do that in myself, but that love has been shed abroad in my heart. It's in there. Jesus said it was. It says that in Romans. It says that in Ephesians. That love is in there. And because I know God has done all this for me and that's the way he looks at me, I can do it. And it's not something I just have to work up. It's like, man, I am so thankful for what God did for me. I am so thankful that he loves me. I'm so thankful that I'm in his arms and his, you know, his kingdom, that I can love you. I'm okay with loving you. I'm okay with doing these things. It's not because the teacher's watching. It's because I know the teacher loves me and he's okay. I don't have to do anything to earn the teacher's love. So let's turn back to, or you're probably still at 1 Corinthians. Let's read a couple more scriptures there. So then in verse 8, it says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. But verse 8, love never fails. This love we're talking about, that never fails in any situation. All these other things, you know, that we think we have going for us or that we think we walk in, you know, if we think we're esteemed because of our knowledge or because of what we do, they will fail. They will pass away. Prophecy, we won't need prophecy when we're in heaven. We don't need tongues and interpretations. We don't need tongues when we're in heaven. We'll be with God Almighty. It'll pass away. But love will abide forever. Love never fails. Love in any situation will work. Because it's God. It's the way things are really truly meant to work. It's the way things were set up. That's what God has for us. Let's go, we're going to close with this scripture, Colossians 3:12. So, we'll read a little bit of this, because in verse 12 it says, therefore. But verse 9, let's go back to verse 9. It says, do not lie to, he's saying all these things because you're in Christ. And so he's given some practical advice. But he says, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we have a new man. We're recreated in God. And that's where we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. But he says, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Verse 12, therefore, because you have a new man, because you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, in the new man, therefore, as the elect of God, therefore, because you're loved by God, because Jesus has died for you, because you've accepted him, because you are in the family of God, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, therefore, because of who you are and because of what's in your heart, do these things. He didn't say, do these things so that you'll earn something with me or that things will work for you. He said, because, therefore, as the elect of God, because you have been loved, love is what he's saying. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, see, we're beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness. If you look at all these words, they're describing love. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or maturity. But above all these things, so he's saying, because you're the elect of God, because you're a child of God, you should act this way. Why should you act that way? Because God has already done all these things for you. And if you truly understand what God's done, it'll just flow out of us. So he says, do all these things, but above everything, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, which is the bond of maturity. When we understand what God did for us, we will put on love. We'll walk in love. It's not a hard thing. It might be, you know, sometimes it might grate on our flesh, our natural man to say, to, you know, we don't want to put up with somebody else. But when we keep it in focus that God loves us right where we are, that's not his attitude. That he's loving us, that he's patient with us, that he's kind. We can put on that bond of perfection. We can love others. And we can walk in, and that's the best way, because like he said in Rome or 1 Corinthians, it never fails. It may feel like it's hard at some times, but it never fails. It's the best way. Thank God.